So today we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King. Unless you're a history buff or an Elvis fan, the idea of kingship probably doesn't come into your mind too often. It could be part of our collective history. Our country was founded by rejecting a king and replacing a monarchy with a government of the people, by the people, for the people. So we, as a member of a democracy, a federal republic, what are we to make of this concept of kingship, especially in relationship to Christ? First, let's take a quick look at a king. A king is a ruler who has ultimate authority over his people and country. He usually inherits his position and holds it for life. So you can see where we as Americans, as part of a democracy, might be a little bit squeamish about, you know, this just birthright and ultimate rule over us, because there's no court of higher appeals. Once the king speaks, it is final. So with this background, let's jump to today's gospel. And in it, we just heard that Pontius Pilate and Christ are having this discussion about Christ's kingship. And Jesus says, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." Well, yes, of course, because his kingship extends beyond the world. As God, Jesus is king of heaven and earth. His kingdom is not limited to a group of people in a certain geographical area, but rather his kingship extends to everyone because of his divine personhood. This kingship is based upon truth, listening to what Christ has to say and say, "Yes, this is what I want." So everyone who listens to the truth, listens to the voice of Christ, enters into this beautiful kingdom that is not just of this world, but also of the world to come. Now let's look at this feast day of Christ the King given to us to Pope Pius XI in 1925. Pope Pius instituted it as an antidote to secularism. Now, just for the record, there are secular ideas that are wonderful. I love when I get into my car and press a couple buttons, hit enter, and the car tells me how to get to wherever I need to go. I'm a big fan of GPS. I've taken many classes in my life at secular institutions that had nothing to do with God and learned immensely from the subject matter that was being taught. So just because something is secular doesn't necessarily mean it's sinful or against our faith. Secularism, however, is defined as a way of life that leaves God out of one's thoughts, leaves God out of one's actions, and says you live your life without God in it. So the final authority in all aspects of life becomes the individual person or a group of people that you say, "Yes, you will be my leader." So secularism trades a divine king for a human king. 20 years after this feast day was put in place, the bishops in our country wrote a letter on secularism and addressed a number of different points. But one of them that jumped off the page at me was their talk about what effect secularism would have on the individual person. Now, keep in mind, this was about 15 years before the political, cultural, sexual revolutions of the 60s. So the bishops wrote that secularism blinds the individual of his or her responsibility to God. And as a result, the person loses the, quote, listen to this, the saving sense of sin. I had to go back and read that a couple times, because normally you think of saving, you think of grace. When you think of sin, you think of the opposite of grace. But they said it's the saving sense of sin. They continued to unpack that by helping us understand what sin is. Sin is an offense against reason, against truth, and right conscience. But then the question becomes, how do we know these things? How do we know the truth? How do we know right reason? How do we know how we are to act? Well, going back to this individualistic understanding, if it's up to the individual person, there's 7.4 billion of us walking the earth today. That means there's 7.4 billion ethical and moral systems that apply ultimately just to the individual person. So how are we to be in union with each other? How are we to be in right relationship with each other? Remember, united we stand, divided we fall. So secularism is a big factor in bringing about relativism. Broadly speaking, relativism professes that there are no absolute truths, except for that one. There are no absolute truths, right? Morality is relative depending upon certain perceptions or situations or cultural norms. So as a result, moral and ethics are hard to say, well, this applies to all of us. And it gets more and more difficult to say that people acted in a wrong or sinful way. Now, while it might be nice to want to believe that sin doesn't exist, all we have to do is open up the newspaper today, surf the internet, and dare I say, look in the mirror to see the effects of sin are reality in all of our lives. So this is the bad news. The good news is that there's prevention and a cure for sin. Prevention comes when we say, I am not my own king. I am not the final authority of my life. I am in fact subject to a king, a divine king, however, who wants to help me to understand who I am, who he is, who my neighbor is, and how I am to be in right relationship with all these people. Imagine what our world would look like if everyone followed just one of the Ten Commandments. Imagine if everyone followed the commandment, the fifth commandment, which is? Good for you. The earlier mass didn't know that. I'm like, how are you going to follow it if you don't know it? So the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Imagine if for one day that didn't happen. The newspaper that just got delivered would go from this big to about this big, right? We wouldn't need 24/7 cable TV, right? We wouldn't need, if just that one commandment, four words, thou shalt not kill. That's a 10% on that quiz. There's nine other commandments. If we keep adding more and more, imagine what our life would look like. The teachings of Christ the King and his church are not given to us to make us miserable. They're given to us to build us up. They're given to us to allow us to live in right relationship with God and right relationship with our neighbor. As for the cure, while it's always better not to sin, because sin hurts ourselves, sin hurts our neighbors, sin hurts our relationship with God, we're told that if we ask for forgiveness, Christ the King will forgive us. He gives it that power to his disciples in John 20, when he says to his disciples, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retain are retained. So Christ as God, Christ as King of the universe, has given us this wonderful gift to have our sins forgiven. So if it's been a while, why not take advantage of this beautiful sacrament? Why not go to confession? Many people will say, well, why should I go to confession? I haven't killed anyone. And I always congratulate them. That's very good. Very good. You didn't kill anyone. Well done. You know, that's good. I hope the bar is a little bit higher than just not killing each other. So for your homework, I want you to Google examination of conscience. Examination of conscience. When you do that, you'll get 67,600,000 hits. I'm asking you to read just one. Read an examination of conscience and see what's on there. I think when you do that, we'll all see, you know what? Yeah, maybe I didn't kill anyone today, but there's other things I've done that I should probably come before God and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness, and I'm going to try to amend my ways. So why not start off Advent when we prepare for our Lord with this wonderful, pure gift that God has given us? So in conclusion, although we live in a democracy, a federal republic that was born by rejecting a king, we absolutely have a king in our lives. That king is Jesus Christ. Our king does not rule over us for our benefit. As God, what does he need? Absolutely nothing. He rules over us for our benefit. Again, he says, I want you to be in right relationship with each other, with me and with yourselves. So this is why Pope Pius XI gave us this beautiful feast day of Christ the King. And it's why we should celebrate this feast every day of our lives, acknowledging that, yes, we are subject to this divine King who loves us and died for our sins.